Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. I am dedicated to helping you to grow in your relationship with God. And I want you to live with passion, with energy, with enthusiasm. Listen to this reading from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. He says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Give thanks in all circumstances. I heard a story about a young man who began working at a company, and he had a rapid rise to the top. He started off as a salesman, then quickly became a manager, then quickly became the vice president of the company. The owner of the company called him into a meeting, into his office. He said, "You've had an extraordinary record." He says, "You've gone further faster than any employee I've ever had. In 1 year, you've gone from a salesman to a manager to vice president of the company, and now I'm thinking of making you the president of the entire company. So what do you have to say to that?" And the young man said, "Thanks." And the owner said, "Is that all you can say is thanks?" And the young man said, "Thanks, Dad." It is the will of God for you to give thanks in all circumstances. I love that. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. That is the oldest document we have in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians. And from that document, we are told what the will of God is for us. And it's to give thanks, to give praise, not for all circumstances, in all circumstances. So, for example, you may not like the job that you have, but thank God in it. Because, you know, a lot of people don't have a job. And you may be going through some health problems right now, but give God thanks in the health problems, not for them, but in them, because, you know, there's a lot of people worse off than you. You may be going through a relationship problem or a marital struggle, but give God thanks in it, because there's a lot of people who are lonely and broken and desolate. And then you may not like your house or your car, but give God thanks in it, because there's a lot of people that are homeless and a lot of people that are taking the bus today. See, it's all a matter of appreciating what you have and having what I like to call an attitude adjustment. I don't want you to lose your enthusiasm. I want you to be passionate about your life. I want you to be enthusiastic about everything that you're about. And call me perfectionistic if you want, but when I go into my house, our monastery here, I like things straight. For example, if I'm looking at a cross on the wall, and it's got a little tilt on it, I always go over and I straighten it out. Or if there's a picture on the wall that has a little bit of a tilt to it, it kind of drives me crazy. I want to go over and I straighten it out a little bit. Well, I've found out sometimes we're not quite appreciating all the good things that God has given to us, and we're not giving thanks, or we're not living with enthusiasm. And all we need is a little bit of an adjustment. We just need to straighten things out just a little bit. And I found out that sometimes, you know, my attitude needs adjusting. I'm not always as joyful as I could be, or as upbeat, or as enthusiastic, or as passionate as I can be. Passion is a choice. You choose to be joyful, and you choose to be enthusiastic about life. You throw yourself into it. And that's why I always tell people, don't just live, live with passion. I remember recently I was picking up our general at the airport. Our general is he's the head priest of the entire Passionist community. He lives in Rome. And he hardly ever visits Houston. Well, about a month ago, he came to visit our community in Houston, and I volunteered to go pick him up at the airport. I already determined I'm going to drive slow. I want to make a good impression on the general. I'm not going to go fast. I'm not going to speed. I'm going to take my time and have a good time with the general. So I picked him up, had him in the passenger seat. I met him. He's from over by New Zealand area. And I remember we were talking, having a good time. Well, as I started to get toward downtown, I ran into a lot of traffic, and I just said, take your time, don't worry about it. And there was a lot of traffic, especially on the right side. Wouldn't you know, I missed my exit, the exit to head to our house. So I had to go right downtown, and you know, downtown is very tricky in Houston, and I started to get lost, and I wasn't sure where I was. All the while, I'm just talking to the general and pointing out buildings and having a big smile on my face. Normally, I would have been all disheveled and anxious and all upset and everything. Well, we had just had major storms in Houston and a lot of flooding on the highways. I-10, the major east-west highway through Houston, was closed. I tried to get back up on I-10. It was closed. I had to go other roads, try to find my way. Then I-45 was closed. So, I mean, all this stuff was happening. Motorcycles were cutting me off. Cars were cutting me off. Roads were closed. I've got the general next to me. I'm smiling. I wasn't letting it get to me. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I'm handling this really well. And I knew what it was. It was because the general was sitting next to me. And what I'm trying to say is, you can have an attitude adjustment if you really want to have it. You don't have to be all bent out of shape all the time. Having the general sitting next to me showed me what I can be like. I could be enthusiastic. I could be joyful, even in the midst of a crazy traffic jam, roads being closed, getting lost. And you can be that way too. No matter what your circumstances are, you don't have the general sitting next to you. You have the King of Kings sitting next to you, living within you. And he's calling you and inviting you to live with joy, to live with enthusiasm. So, I don't know if you know anything about airplanes, but one time I was on an airplane and I saw the instrument panel on the airplane. And on the airplane, they have something called an attitude indicator on the airplane. Well, that's interesting, because as we go through life, we have an attitude indicator also. And the attitude indicator is this: when the plane is climbing, the nose of the airplane is above the horizon. This is called a nose-up attitude. When the plane is descending, the nose of the plane is below the horizon, and this is called a nose-down attitude. And I always like to tell people, a good attitude leads to a high altitude. What I'm saying is, in life, don't focus on the people who have their nose down. Focus on the people that you have in your life that have their nose up. See, a good attitude leads to a high altitude. And I don't want you to lose your enthusiasm. I don't want you to lose your passion. You have to work at this. You have to be strong. You have to give thanks in all circumstances. Because when people have their nose down, they can pull you down. When people have their nose up, they can pull you up. And a lot of times, you have to work on your own attitude. It's really, 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 really important. This program is dedicated to helping you live with passion. Some of you are alone in your homes. Some of you are in nursing homes or hospitals or prisons. And there's all kinds of different situations going on in your life that can pull you down. I know it's hard, no matter where you live, everywhere you go, driving, at home, at work. I understand that. But don't lose your enthusiasm. Live with passion. You can do it. Give thanks not for the circumstances. It's the will of God for you to give thanks in the circumstances. And one of the things that you have to do is just look around at the people that are living their life well and let them encourage you. Let them strengthen you. I remember the story of Paul and Silas. If you remember, Paul the Apostle wrote that verse, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, he wasn't just blowing smoke. See, Paul the Apostle suffered greatly. He was an apostle. He preached the gospel all around the world. Well, all around the world at that time. And because of it, he suffered greatly. He suffered shipwrecks, stonings. He was beaten with rods, and he was thrown into prison. One time, Paul was in prison, and he was there with Silas, one of his companions on the journey. And in the prison, at midnight, in the middle of the night, now he's in prison for preaching the gospel. Can you imagine what that must have been like, the test of faith that that must have been for him? While he's in prison, he was probably, you know, thinking, oh no, you know, should I give up? I got to quit doing this. It's just causing all this suffering. See, that's the nose down. You focus on the negative. But rather, he was giving thanks in that circumstance because he knew that that was the will of God for him. So now it's midnight, Paul and Silas are in prison, and notice what they're doing. This comes from the Acts of the Apostles. They were singing, and it says that everybody was listening to them. And then something interesting happens. You know, God inhabits the praise of his people. When you sing, when you worship, when you give thanks, that attracts God's presence. It opens you up to God's presence. Well, all of a sudden there was this big earthquake. The jail was opened up and they were free to go. The jailer comes to Paul and says, "Sirs, what do I got to do to be saved?" And what I like to tell people is, joy is catchy. Enthusiasm is a great witness. A lot of people think, you know, how can I witness to my children that have fallen away from the faith? You know, what do I got to do? Smile at them. Show enthusiasm. Show them your love. That's exactly what Paul did. And he converted the jailers. It said that the jailer and his whole household were saved. All because of Paul's joy, all because of Paul's attitude. I think that's so wonderful that they sang. One thing I do on every mission that I preach parish missions all around the country, they're the Catholic version of a revival. I always make sure that I touch base with the musicians before I come. It's extremely important that we have good music. And the music that I like to have at my parish missions, it's not music, moralistic music telling us what to do. It's praise and worship music. Because I know I'm going to have 400, 500, 600 people gathered there that have just worked. Some of them are going through marital problems. Others are having children leave the faith, and they're struggling with their circumstances. And I want them to get their mind off their circumstances and onto God. Instead of magnifying your problems, think of a magnifying glass. That's what we do. We magnify our problems, and they look so big. Rather than doing that, we've got to get the magnifying glass on God. And that's what it says in the Bible. Magnify the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give God thanks in all circumstances. So, at our parish missions, when I preach a parish mission, I make sure that we have good music. Music that will extol God and worship God and praise God and thanks God, give thanks to God. And then what it does is it opens the minds and the hearts of the people to be more susceptible to hearing the Word of God that I'm about to preach. See, when you give thanks, it opens you up. Music is so crucial. It's so important. You know what slaves did when they were taken out of Africa and they were brought over to the United States? They were in deplorable conditions on the ship. And then when they got over to America, they had to work hard in the fields and they had to do back-breaking work that nobody wanted to do because they were slaves. You know what they did? They sang wonderful songs to God. And what it did is it didn't take away the circumstances, but in the circumstance, in the dire situation of the ship, of the danger, of the hard work, right in the midst of it, as they sang, it cheered them up and gave them new strength. As I said, God inhabits the praise of his people. As you give God thanks, it attracts the grace. It attracts the glory. And I know that oftentimes you don't feel like it. Oftentimes, you know, when I'm at prayer and morning prayer or even at Mass, I don't always feel like singing. I just feel tired or irritable or whatever it is. That's exactly when you have to sing. You don't always sing because you feel like it. You make a decision to sing. You make a decision to give thanks to God. You decide to give God praise. There's many songs that I like. Of course, Amazing Grace is one of the songs that I like, and you know, there's so many others, but one song that I like that I love to sing is called Glory and Praise to Our God, and it's just worshiping God. And it just simply goes like this: Glory and praise to our God, who alone gives light to our days. Many are the blessings he bears to those who trust in his ways. So glory and praise to our God. We worship you. We give you thanks. And, you know, I don't always feel that way, but when I do, it's amazing the energy and the enthusiasm and the strength that I feel as I give praise to God. And that's what Paul told Timothy one time. Timothy was a protege of Paul. He was an evangelist. And Paul told him, he said, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. In other words, be passionate toward evangelism, toward sharing the good news. He said, Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that was given to you when I laid my hands upon you. In other words, when you were ordained, Timothy, when you were anointed with the Holy Spirit, you were anointed with power. You were anointed with enthusiasm. You were anointed with passion. And he said, stir it up because you're losing it. You see, Timothy was afraid. He was discouraged. He was letting his circumstances, he was letting the traffic and all the stuff of his life get to him and make his nose go down. And so Paul said, stir it up, Timothy. I want to stir you up today as you're watching this program. Because oftentimes, you know, you can let the stuff of your life drag you down and, you know, have a nose down attitude. And remember what I said, a good attitude leads to a high altitude. Don't just live, live with passion. So how do you stir things up? I remember we used to live in Massachusetts and we had a big wood-burning stove right in our living room. And my parents would leave for work in the morning and I was in charge of stirring it up in the afternoon when I got back from school. Because what would happen is we put the logs in and it would be going, and sooner or later the logs would kind of burn off and there'd just be some embers there. And I would open up the door and I would take one of these steel rods and go in there and just kind of stir it up. And I'd put some more wood on there. And then I would take some bellows. You know what bellows are? It blows air because the fire needs oxygen. So I'd stir it up and I'd go, and I'd blow the, and it was amazing how out of the little embers, out of the embers that were barely going, it's amazing, you stir it up and you put some oxygen on it and this spark happens. All of a sudden this blazing fire and all this heat comes, this new energy. And it's the same in our life too. You know, sometimes you can say, I hear people talking about, I'm just running on fumes. My tank is empty. You know, my fire is going out. Well, stir it up. That's a decision that you make. Don't focus on all the negative. Be positive. Give thanks in your circumstances. Make the decision to sing, just like the slaves did, just like I do, just like people that pray do, just like Paul did in prison. You know, get that oxygen. And then watch the embers, watch the flames come. Stir into flame the gift of God. Stir it up. And be passionate. Don't lose your enthusiasm. That's so crucial. And then another thing that you got to do to stir it up is you have to encourage yourself. You know, you can't rely upon your husband or your wife to encourage you. You can't rely upon the people at work to encourage you. You can't rely on your religious community to encourage you. And I must say, in my life, I get a lot of encouragement from people. My partners especially encourage me by their donations, by their prayers, by their sacrifices for me. And I'm so encouraged by so many people. But the bottom line is, when push comes to shove, you have to encourage yourself. You can stir it up. And that's exactly what David did, King David I'm talking about. Once David, the great king of Israel, he had enemies coming against him. There were the Amalekites. And they destroyed and stole everything that was important to him. The men with him, his own men, mutinied and wanted to kill David. They wanted to stone him. Can you imagine the situation? I don't know how bad your circumstances are, but David, this comes from 1 Samuel, I believe, chapter 30, he was in dire straits. He had enemies coming against him. His own people had mutinied against him. They wanted to kill him. And you know what he did when he was at his bottom? He had a rock bottom decision to make. Do I want to give up or do I want to get up? And he made the decision to get up. And you know what he did? He praised God. He encouraged himself. He gave thanks in his circumstances. Do you know that David wrote the Psalms that we have in the Bible? Have you ever read any of those Psalms? Really, they've been put to music, and they should be put to music because they were written with a harp in his hand. David was a psalmist, and he was a musician. And one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 34. I remember I was on retreat at Big Sur, and on one of the trees, they have a plaque, Psalm 34, verse 1. And you know what it says? I will bless the Lord at all times. That's like give thanks in your circumstances. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. So picture David now. He's about to be stoned. His enemies are coming against him. You know what he's doing? He's praising God. He's thanking God. He's worshiping God. And do you know that God delivered him from that situation? And when you encourage yourself, there's another thing that you have to do. You have to remember how God has delivered you and worked in your life in the past. For example, when it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, imagine what he was doing. He was probably thinking back to when he was a little shepherd boy, and how when the bears would come against him and when the lions would come against him, how God helped him to defeat the bear and the lion. And then, remember the great act of David, the monster, the giant Goliath comes against him. No other warrior would ever come against Goliath because they were afraid of being killed. And David, great man of God, great worshiper of God, says, who is this heathen that comes against the living God? And he came against Goliath, as you know, defeated him with a stone. Actually, it was God working through David. And so David, when he encouraged himself, what was he doing? He was thinking about his victory against the bear, against the lion, against Goliath. Now he had this situation. Same way in my life. When I go in front of 1,000 people, you know, sometimes down in Florida, I have these huge crowds, 1,500 people, whatever it is, or I have to go on TV. I always think about the victories that God has already given me. These big crowds, these TV situations, the different places that I've already been where God has given me victory. We are more than conquerors. That's the name of this series. We are more than conquerors through Christ who has loved us. You know, Google right now on the internet is this huge search engine. Everybody uses it. But it was invented by a man named Larry Page back in 1997. He had a dream one night about organizing the internet, and it's called Google. Actually, in the beginning, it was called Backrub. Well, in the beginning, he wanted to sell it for $1.6 million. And nobody really appreciated what it was. He was offered $750,000, but nobody really bought it. He didn't want to sell it for that low price. Now, today, Google is worth $358 billion. It just wasn't appreciated. In the same way, when it comes to attitude, we have to appreciate what we have. Your marriage, your job, your house. I think about myself as a priest, being on television. Sometimes, you know, when I first got on TV, I was ecstatic. You know, I'm on TV, I'm reaching out to people all over the place. That was 9 years ago. So time kind of wears on you, then the problems, then the money, and the difficulties. Well, I'm still ecstatic about being on TV, but it's not like it was right in the beginning when it was like the honeymoon and all that, because now I know what it goes into it, the work and the hardship and the problems. But remember, you can have your nose down or your nose up. And I am committed to being enthusiastic and passionate. And I really want to help you to become that way. And then being a Catholic priest, you know, it's a wonderful ministry. I'm reaching out to scores and lots of people, but it can oftentimes, sometimes you'll see people that just aren't putting much into it. I went into a sacristy one time, that's right behind the church, and I saw a plaque on the wall. It came from Avila, and it said this, "Priest of Jesus Christ, celebrate this holy mass as if it were your first mass, your last mass, your only mass." Oh, I love that. It's about being enthusiastic, not being jaded, appreciating what you have. And I think about the confessional too, and I'd like to say this. Priest of Jesus Christ, for those of you who are watching that are priests, celebrate this holy confession as if it were your first confession, your last confession, your only confession, because every penitent that comes before us is precious. So, don't just live. Live with passion. Give thanks in all circumstances. God is there with you. I know you may not feel like it, and there's all kinds of negativity and things that come against you, but here's what you got to do. Stir it up, Paul told Timothy. You are anointed. You have the power. You are blessed. In order to be more than conquerors, what you have to do is give thanks in all circumstances, magnify God by singing, encourage yourself, and be strong. Make the decision to be enthusiastic. I pray that this program will help you to look at your circumstances, and more than that, to look at God in the midst of your circumstances, to have your attitude up, because remember, a good attitude leads to a high altitude, and don't just live, live with passion. I am dedicated to helping you to live with passion. I want to encourage you. I want you to stir it up, focus on the positive, give thanks in all circumstances. And one of the ways I'm encouraged is by my partners. I have partners all over the country, Catholic, non-Catholic, all kinds of different people who donate to me monthly, who pray for me all the time, and that so encourages me. There's this flow that goes between me and my partners. And I want you to be in the anointing. Watch what happens when God will touch you through this anointing, this partnership anointing. I got an email from a man who gave a donation, and he said, "I'd like to support your ministry monthly, Father Cedric." He said, "Please charge my card every month for this amount." He said, "Thank you for your ministry. I was a fallen away Catholic, and because of your teachings and your preaching, I have come back to the church." See, to me, that's what this program's all about. It's about people coming back to God, living with enthusiasm, becoming all that they can be, developing their character, living with passion. Would you consider becoming a partner with my ministry? I'm a Catholic priest with a vow of poverty. 100% of your money will go directly to the production and the airing of Live with Passion all around the country and all around the world. I'm on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, the Church Channel, many Catholic affiliates, as well as some cities where I've bought time, such as New Orleans, Chicago, Fresno, San Antonio, many other different places. When you make a donation to my ministry, as I said, 100% of your money will go to the production and the airing of Live with Passion. When you make that donation, just indicate that you would like the print of the crucifixion, and we'll send you any book that you ask for. Thank you, thank you, thank you for becoming a partner with my ministry. Please pray about it. I need you. I'm encouraged by you, and I want to encourage you. Thank you so much. Don't just live. Live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live. Live with passion.